Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kids' legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids.
We only met a month ago.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
We have our winner. Won a pair of tickets for Lions and Steelers Sunday, December 21st, and a pair of passes to the Lions VIP tailgate, Eastern Market, Bullseye Group. The Lions VIP tailgate is back by the Bullseye Event Group. All you can eat, open bar, 3 hours before kickoff. Go to bullseyeeventgroup.com for tickets today. Your three clues for Name That Lion today. Clue number one, I played for both the Lions and the Steelers.
Okay.
I was a Pro Bowler for the Colts. And I was drafted by the Lions in the 2010s in the top 10. John, who's the Lion?
That would be one Eric Ebron.
A fan favorite, if you will.
Yes, yes. Not as sure-handed as we kind of always wanted him to be.
Justin in Madison wins the pair of tickets. He knew it was Eric Ebron.
One of the best anti-nicknames in Detroit sports history. Dropped him as prime.
Yes. I'd forgotten about that.
And that's one of those in real time people were livid. It's not one of those, well, we at the time, you never know how a draft's going to pan out.
Yeah. No, it was one instantly where you're like, wait, what? Who?
Yep. I remember people calling in the station. I was sitting in my car listening. People lose their mind. Why not Aaron Donald? We're about to lose Ndamukong Suh.
And we see the path that those two careers took.
We did.
Not the same. One's not like the other.
No, they are not. Some of the texts coming in from you guys on this Google situation. Winter meetings wrap up today. Trade him, keep him, extend him. Gotta trade Scoobal. If the team's not interested in competing next season, per Scott Harris's winter meeting comments, go get young, controllable assets rather than lose them in the offseason for a draft pick. Highlights a couple signature players from the Mets or the Dodgers that could come back. Says, I have zero trust Scott Harris gets this right with any decision he makes.
And that's the thing. And it's, okay, what is, I keep thinking, is there something that we're missing? Are we being short-sighted and not understanding the entire picture? Because it feels like there's three options, right? You sign him, which we don't think that they're going to do. You trade him. Or you keep them and you're thinking that you're going to be contending for a championship. But when
are they that naive to think running last year's team back is competing for a championship?
Well, they did the year before.
I mean, that's the answer is yes. The answer is they are that naive.
That's their history, yeah. And it's a short history with Scott Harris. So we keep always thinking, okay, the team that he inherited is much better now. And it is the development of some guys that, you know, Spencer Torkelson finally found bat to ball. And Riley Green had some power, but this two strikeouts, and then it's Kerry Carpenter. Like, you're looking at it going, okay, well, yeah, they clearly are a better team now than when he took over, but he hasn't really made any significant additions.
Why is he afraid to do so?
I think it's got to be the numbers tell him he's on the right path. The analytics, whatever he's using for his analytics tells him he's on the right path in regards to how much money they're spending versus what the results are that they're getting back.
He's like hypnotized by what they did at the end of 24 and the start of 25 and thinks that's who the Tigers are and therefore doesn't need to take the risk of paying premium salaries for premium players.
I think it's
a dangerous path to assume like you're going to go win the World Series without having premium players.
I think it's no long-term contracts where they don't have some options to get out of it until at least 2027 when the plan was always about 27. Mm. I think that's exactly what it is.
So he's unwilling to adjust his plan.
The Scoobal clock comes up short of 27.
Right. So you always had to factor in what you were going to do with Tarek Skubal, especially when he won his first Cy Young, and definitely now that he's won his second Cy Young. But what is the ideal Harris plan here? It seems silly that the ideal plan is to, hey, we're not in our 2027 window, but we're willing to burn Tarek Skubal for nothing.
Okay, but look at the Bregman offer. They would have gotten out of it after this season coming up.
I'm asking you, how does keeping Skubal for only this season fit with 2027's the real timeline? It doesn't.
They're trying to win now, too.
What if the answer is he's just not that good at this? What if the answer is he's mismanaging the situation, that he's in over his head? Is that an acceptable answer?
What if he's not allowed to hand out long-term contracts that don't have outs? I mean, that broke the Bregman deal.
Yeah.
They wanted the 2-year opt-out. I think it's clear what they're doing here. They tried to win
my
now.
My point is, even if you aren't getting the green light from ownership, then you do what small market teams do. You trade your player. Not happy about it, but you trade Tarek Skubal. But it doesn't sound like that they're trading Tarek Skubal.
There seems like there's too much smoke around this right now that he's pitching next year on the Tigers. That's just how I feel it. I'm not quite sure what Boris is up to here. I know Evan Petzl told us, look, he thinks Boris wants to get him a free agency. That doesn't favor a trade happening, right? Or at least a really good trade for the Tigers. See, if he gets traded and he gets an extension, that was the Dodgers report, then you're getting more.
Yeah.
Because the Dodgers have security.
Of course. And you'd get, quote, a haul.
They might just be stringing this along even to July 31st and see where they're at. Slow roll is their name of their game. That's what they do.
I think the most likely scenario if they keep Tarek Skubal is they will be in the race in late July, right? So they'll keep him, right?
Unless somebody blows him away. I know people think the value goes down.
Hold on. You think they would trade away Tarek Skubal if they were in first or second place in the American League Central in late July?
No.
Probably not, but if somebody blew him away. Houston blew away Randy Johnson. Blew Seattle out of the water. That's why they did it. They carried it all the way up. I think it was an 11:59 trade because it was midnight. Was the deadline at that time.
It just feels like they're afraid to take a risk, but in doing so, that is a risk in and of itself.
Yeah, I mean, if you leave yourself out there for not taking any risk, then you may get marginally better.
Mm-hmm.
You might get marginally worse.
So,
but you're just going to be a marginal team.
Yeah, bumping along.
Isn't it Ken Rosenthal who said Scott Harris is risk averse?
Yeah, that was his quote.
I mean, he's starting to get late. He's already been labeled that by baseball insiders.
Yeah.
There's the talk out there that they're hard to deal with. They want more in return than what's realistic.
All for driving a hard bargain and negotiating super tough and difficult. But at the end of the day, you got to get deals done. You can't fall just short of Bregman a year ago. You can't not trade Skubal and then lose him for nothing because you were driving hard bargains. You only do your team a disservice at that point.
Right. I mean, and I know we love to compare general managers.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go back to last year with the Lions and them getting Za'Darius Smith. We all thought, oh, it's not going to get done. He's not going to do anything. We don't have anybody who wants to do anything at a trade deadline. And then you look at the return. He was the best available. They went and got him at a very good price. And so you could drive a hard bargain as long as you're willing to make a deal at some point. You may get what you're looking for. You may also have to pay more than you're willing to pay for.
Yeah, I think Holmes had said, and I don't have the direct quote, but didn't he say that was one of the more agonizing experiences as a general manager is getting that Za'Darius deal done? Think about that. That wasn't a deal where you traded for a cornerstone player and multiple firsts were involved. That was a day 3 pick and it was agonizing. Yeah. I'm not saying it's easy to get these deals done, but you are judged by getting them done. Let's get to Larry. You're on 97.1.
Yeah. First I want to say, I mean, you know, when I'm a big time Detroit fan and my big goal as I get up in age here is really my teams have to make the playoffs. Once they make the playoffs, I'm happy. Okay, I don't need a championship. Sorry, guys, I don't. I need a full year of good entertainment and a competitive team. That being said, the ownership does not want to spend money. They don't care. Harris, his hands are completely tied, and you can see it. It's got to be the ownership because they're happy with just getting to the playoffs. And actually, I had two great summers with the Tigers. I got to be honest. I think that's what the ownership is doing. I don't know if you guys agree at all with that, but I don't think Scott Harris is in charge at all here.
Well, he may not be. It might ultimately be, he's willing to give contracts to certain players, but he's not getting it from ownership or getting the green light from ownership. I have a problem with the premise of that argument, though, of I just want to have a good season, make the playoffs, and you're okay not winning a championship. The entire goal of playing the season, making the postseason, is to win a championship, and you want to give yourself the best odds possible.
And I also don't know that that's like an accurate painting of a picture of the last 2 years of Tiger baseball. It wasn't all sunshine and rainbows the last 2 years. In fact, 2 years ago, it was a lot of losing up until and even past the trade deadline. That wasn't a fun summer. The summer of 24 was actually bad baseball.
Well, it was August.
That was fun.
August and September that were fun.
The whole Destiny voodoo. They make a run. They're these.
And this year it was basically
the opposite.
April through July.
So over the last 2 years, you've gotten one complete baseball season split over the 2 years.
Yeah. And then the final couple of months was just completely agonizing.
Yeah.
You know, the Moneyball A's back in the day in the 2000s when this all started were streaky like that. I remember they had a 20-game winning streak, remember, during one of those.
Yeah.
They would selectively go get veteran talent, like Johnny Damon's of the world, David Justice.
Yeah.
But never lock themselves down for the bottom line.
How many World Series did those A's teams win?
Zero.
Okay.
They'd often get to the ALDS and get bumped.
Yeah, we're exactly like that thing. Good analogy, Tom. You did a good job. Spot on.
I didn't mean to depress you. I'm just looking at kind of making the comparison.
No, you did a good job. It's an accurate comparison. Uplifting stuff.
Aren't we? But when we've talked about this in today's show, both of your moods are down.
Yeah.
Sure.
Probably been more of a Harris defender than most people. It's becoming like apathetic a little bit.
Yeah, what are we doing?
You kind of feel helpless. Like if they're not going to sign homegrown superstar players, if those players don't want to sign, that's also the other side of the coin. That's a lousy situation. That's not a fun spot to be in. And yeah, you could be defiant and shake a fist and chase a championship, but it would require them to be more active at the winter meetings in this offseason. And to see and hear that they aren't doing that, well, that only puts you in an even lousier mood. And then the conclusion is the lousiest conclusion. I got to lose one of the great players in all of baseball and roll the dice on prospects. Of course our mood's down. It's 97-1.
Hey, what's up, Detroit? It's your girl, Heather, and I'm always looking for ways to stay on top of my game. So listen, you know how much I rely on my phone for everything. That's why I've got to tell you about this insane deal from Verizon that'll help you be your best self, too. We're talking a low price on the best 5G in Detroit. Seriously, whether I'm blasting my favorite tracks in the morning commute or snagging those last-minute tickets to the hottest new flick, check this out. You can switch today and pay just $50 a month for a single line. You heard me right. $50 a month for the best 5G in Detroit when you bring your own phone on the unlimited welcome plan with auto pay plus taxes and fees. That's a no-brainer, people. Visit your nearest Detroit Verizon store today to lock in this incredible deal. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Rankings based on Root Metrics Root Score Report dated 2H2024. Your results may vary. Additional terms apply.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
I want to shift gears. That's Scott Boras. We talked a lot about Scoobal today. Evan Petzold coming up at 9:35. How about the next 10 minutes? More uplifting stuff.
Okay, yeah.
Let's start with Michigan basketball, John.
Ah, what a run. I mean, they are so much fun to watch. They play at a very fast clip. Their, you know, tempo, their intensity. Defensively, that might be one of, and nobody really wants to look and say, okay, well, they're great defensively. They do a great job of moving around defensively. Their steals, their fast breaks, like everything that they do right now, they just seem to be operating way ahead of schedule. We all knew that, hey, Dusty May, good coach, right? Yeah. And it was really good in the transfer portal. But to be able to mesh those guys and play with the way that they're playing, the teamwork, the chemistry that they have, it feels like they're about 30 to 45 days ahead of schedule.
Yeah, for a band of mercenaries, they've come together quickly and they dominate. Last night, the game was over before halftime against Villanova. Michigan's won six straight games by 25 or more points, including some 40-point wins against ranked teams.
Yeah.
They are the number one defense, and they don't do it by playing at a snail's pace. They'll get up and run. They'll crush you on the glass. They're a big team. They were plus 20 last night. Even the guards are big outside of Cadeau. Like, they are, I know number two is next to their name. They're the number one team in college basketball.
It feels like it. And was it the coaches that have them at one?
Yes.
And so, okay, whatever you want. That is irrelevant. Always been irrelevant to me.
You had a stat, and you're not normally like a numbers nerd, but you had this Ken Palm deal, right?
Oh, yeah. They have the fourth highest. And Greg, I don't know if you remember the exact numbers. I don't have it on my computer right now, but they are the fourth highest at this point in the season of anyone in Ken Palm. The three teams ahead of them were all three Duke teams. I think one was
like a 99 Duke.
2002. I believe it was, and 2025, last year's team. So the 99 team, I think, was number one. 2025, oddly enough, was number two, and 02 was three. Now, all of a sudden, this is where the Michigan Wolverines are in terms of their advantage as per Ken Pom rankings.
How about this next little number that takes you back to the 90s? The unbeaten Wolverines, 9-0, the only team since at least 95-96 to win six straight games by 25 or more with at least two coming against ranked opponents. They're dominant. The next time they'll play a ranked opponent, as it sits right now, late January.
Yeah, and when you look at, like, nobody averages over 28 minutes. They do a great job of rotating through. They go 9, 10, 11 guys deep. And then when you look at the total points scored, in this run, no one has been scoring over 20 points. Not one individual. You're looking at it going, okay, well, that's the guy. They right. have guys that yeah, can like, be the guy.
Lindenberg's probably the best player, but on a given night or given possession, it doesn't have to be.
No. I mean, even look at last night. Like, he played 25 minutes, had 9 points.
Yeah, he had four steals, active on defense, but didn't need to score, 30 points for Michigan to win.
Yeah. Cadeau was their leading scorer. He was 18. The next best, 11.
Look, I think they're going to be challenging to be the number one overall seed. I don't know how many losses they're going to have total this season. I'm not going to say they're going undefeated. It's still only early December. But, John, I have a hard time seeing this team lose more than like a couple games.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it'll be, I think the conversation after that day for those that like to overreact, oh, it was too much too soon.
They peaked too soon.
Yeah, oh, they peaked. You know what? Okay, whatever.
Anyway. The other positive thing, and I'm hesitant to bring it up because our teams very rarely make these type of blockbuster trades, but Quinn Hughes is available in the National Hockey League. He's not eligible to sign an extension until this summer, but the Canucks are terrible.
He's 26 years old. He's in the prime of his career. One of the great puck-moving defensemen. One of the great defensemen in the NHL. Won the Norris Trophy a couple years ago. Detroit has the ammunition to pull off a trade. Mm-hmm. And according to Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet 32 Thoughts, Detroit has been in conversation. And it may be a trade that happens in the offseason with an extension. Mm-hmm. But the connection for Detroit, played at you Michigan. Said it wrong. What?
You said it wrong.
Detroit.
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 First time he said it, I thought it was a mistake. Second time, I'm like, oh, okay.
He's Canadian.
That's how he says it.
Quinn Hughes played at Michigan. They spend the summer here. I think the brothers or him, they have a home here.
Yeah.
There's a connection to the state of Michigan for Quinn Hughes. The stronger connection is the New Jersey Devils, where both of his brothers play.
Yeah.
And he's affectionately calling their general manager Fitzy in the media. So, look, the Devils are the favorite, mm-hmm. but Detroit could offer multiple firsts, multiple young players. He would pair next to Mo Sider, lefty-righty, for a decade.
Yeah, and the question is, if you give up that capital, are you able to actually sign him to an extension?
Oh, they have the cap space.
I understand that.
Okay.
But would Captain Steve actually present him with a contract that he would also sign?
That would be contingent on making the deal. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but the issue is,
it'd be kind of like the Brinket on steroids.
You can't. You could sit there and say, yes, or, here's a promise ring. I promise I'll sign.
Yeah, you can't do that right now. You'd have to do it in the summer when he's then eligible to sign an extension with the trade.
Right.
But this stuff is percolating and they're in the mix. Like, John, if you had to give up Casper or Danielson, one of your young centers, you have to give up Sandin, Pelika, and two firsts. I think it'd be a bitter pill to swallow, but I'd do it.
You're going to have to give up something of value to get something of greater value that you would deem of greater value.
Yeah, of course. Look, it would get people excited. It would take them to another level. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, Troy Aikman says he is done with NIL. Mm-hmm. So he opened up about his distaste for NIL during this recent appearance on the Sports Media podcast.
Yes. I understand where he's coming from. If you're going to play a player, especially if you're going to sponsor one individually and then they up and leave in just a year, what did you get? What was your money given to?
That was the year salary. They fulfilled their year commitment.
Yes, please. I understand that.
More please.
Yeah, and fine, the player can do that.
Yeah.
But you start turning off of these other investors.
I think there's a huge donor fatigue going on right now.
I do understand the expectations and the boundaries that Troy Aikman wants to set and whether he chooses to do it or not. I'm just humored by the fact that he did not get a thank you note.
Yeah.
Opening the mail, a thank you note. It's very dad of him.
Yeah.
And that would have made it all better if he had just said thank you.
Former Charger star Quentin Jammer just released a bunch of some random tweets on X.
Yeah, okay.
And he admitted that he was drunk at least half of the team during half of the team's games during the 2011 season. So during this tweeting spree, one of the things he said was, "True story. In 2011, I played completely S-faced drunk in at least 8 games." And he did go on to admit that his divorce caused him to drink, saying he preferred tequila or good bourbon. He mentioned that he would have 2 bottles of tequila in his bag when he went to games, and he would be drinking during the games. And then all the way home as well.
Well, I don't know that his divorce made him drink. He actually poured the drinks and drank them himself.
To deal with the divorce, he started drinking. Yes. Okay.
John, did you ever play against anybody drunk?
That you know of?
Not that I know of. I know that there were some members of our team that played inebriated.
Oh,
really?
You played against Romanowski, didn't you?
He
was always on something.
Oh, yeah, but it doesn't mean he was drunk. Yeah, he might have been high on something. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you had teammates that would drink before the game?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And be drunk?
Yeah.
Who was that kicker?
No, it wasn't a kicker. Yeah. No, wasn't a kicker.
That had to drive you crazy.
Oh, it drove me. Yes. It many issues with some guys that were former teammates of mine.
Well, the FBI is searching for a Michigan woman who's accused of scamming a California bank or several banks out of $30 million nearly a decade ago. So authorities say the 73-year-old woman, Mary McDonnell, pretended to be like this heir of the McDonnell Aircraft Corporation and claimed that she had access to this $80 million trust. And apparently she got access to it because she apparently used the stolen money to then pay employees and cover expenses of this business she had, the struggling entertainment business. And now the FBI thinks that she may have fled to Dubai.
Oh.
So they're searching for her. Mm-hmm. So anyone in Dubai, keep your eyes peeled for Mary.
Yep.
Criminal on the loose.
All right. That's Heather with the news. Got to get to Evan Petzold from Orlando. The latest on the Tigers at the winter meetings. It's 97.1.
FanDuel's the number one sports book for same game parlays, from points and rebounds to threes and assists. FanDuel is the best place to combine your favorite picks into a same game parlay, or you could track every single stat live all in one easy to use app. So if you don't have it downloaded, download it now, explore it, and right now is the perfect time to join. New customers get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So pick one that you think is your best odds, and I always think, you know, go money line with a heavy favorite. And take that extra $150 and bet however you want. Bet the players you love the way that you want. Head to FanDuel.com/971Detroit to sign up today. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
On Aspire with Emma Greed, we talk about mindset, ambition, and the work that actually moves the needle. Listen to Aspire with Emma Greed, available where you get your podcasts.